This morning I would like to talk about our words in James chapter 3, if you would be turning there, please. And before we get started, I need to thank everyone who was here last week, because your words of encouragement have encouraged my wife to pursue an alpaca farm. I just want to thank you. Thank you for that very much. Our words are powerful, aren't they? And your words of encouragement to her were words of discouragement to me. See? See how that works? So James chapter 3. And I'm going to attempt to cover the whole chapter. If you have your fill-in-the-blanks, we'll try and go along with those today as best we can. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Continue reading with me. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and it is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Our words. We need to emphasize the fleshly desires that wage war with ourselves, wage war with our flesh. We need to emphasize that as well. And we do. We teach on it. We preach on it. We have conversations about how we need to avoid certain things. And one of the simplest, most influential things that we can do in our sinning is what? Our speech. Our words. And so I just want to encourage you to consider what James says. Just consider what James says about a stricter judgment. Consider what James says about a stricter judgment. Consider what James says about a perfect man. And then the final question would be, what is the origin of your wisdom? The wisdom that you live by, the wisdom that you speak by, what is the origin? Is it heavenly? Or is it from the earth? So number one, James says in verse 1, Let not many of us or many of you become teachers. Why? He says, knowing that such, we will incur a stricter judgment. What does he mean by that? Why did he point out teachers? Is he just pointing out teachers? Because in some form or fashion, all of us, we teach somebody. If you have children, you know what I'm talking about. And sometimes they don't listen. But we teach. If you are an actual teacher in the school, we have a few of them in our class, our church today. Are they talking about those types of teachers? What exactly are we talking about? What is James getting at? He's talking about those who would be teachers or professors of the truth of the gospel. Teachers. Let not many of us become teachers, because there will be a stricter judgment. You might have heard it said that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, James says there's a stricter judgment for those who teach. And so words must mean something. And one of the arguments that I've heard, and not from anybody here, but, well, you're just being too sensitive. Words hurt. Words inflict injury, don't they? And maybe you've been injured by someone else's words. Maybe even recently. But teachers specifically, we need to be careful, because we will incur a stricter judgment. Why? Because words are powerful. Words are not idle. Well, sometimes we think they might be, but they are not. Proverbs 12:18. Proverbs is your word. Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks rashly, like the thrusts of a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. There is one who speaks rashly, like the thrusts of a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. And so this next coming week, can we put an intentional focus on the words that we use? Just take an inventory, maybe. Consider it a little bit more this next coming week. What is it really that I'm saying? What is it really that I'm communicating to you? Am I communicating that thrust of a sword to you right now? Or am I communicating healing? Can we focus on that maybe this week? Just make a better effort of being intentional with our words. Whether it be with a coworker, whether it be with a neighbor, with a friend, even with a brother and sister in Christ. Let's think about that this week. We don't want to be a thrusting sword. We want to be someone who brings healing. And Brother Mark, he read the Bible reading in Matthew 12. In verse 37, it says, and this is for all of us, not just for teachers, it says what? That we will either be acquitted or condemned. Why? What we say. What we say. And this was an area that I was wrestling with as I was studying, because what does 2 Corinthians 5 say? For we all will be stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be recompensed for our deeds. But Jesus says it's because of our words. So which one is it? Well, it's both. Because we cannot separate what we say and say, well, those aren't my deeds. What I actually physically do with my body, those are my deeds. No, it's one and the same. Because rarely do we injure someone else with our physical body. I don't run over to you and smack you in your face, right? But with my words, I might. Does that make sense? For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. And so James doesn't focus on deeds. He focuses on words and says, look, if you're able to control your tongue, if you've never offended anybody with your tongue, and that's the life you live, you are a perfect man. But what did he just get done saying? For we all stumble in many ways. Your next word is remember this. Your next two words, excuse me. Remember this. That's your fill in the blank. We all stumble in many ways. Remember this. If we can remember that, brothers and sisters, how will we approach the person who stumbles with their tongue towards us? At first, we might feel very hurt, injured, really deeply, and we might need to back off. We might need some space. But long term, if we all know and recognize and we remember this, that we all stumble in many ways, what will that do to our attitude? What should it do to our attitudes going forward? We talked about grace, right? Most of our songs this morning included the word. We can extend that to other brothers and sisters, can't we? Grace. Remember this. We all stumble in many ways. So we consider what James says about a stricter judgment. We consider what Proverbs says about the thrusts of a sword and about words that bring healing. And we also remember that we all stumble in many ways. And there's no perfect person. A perfect person, James says, is able to tame the tongue, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Do you remember what we talked about for vacation Bible school? Those of you who were here, can you remember the summer? Seems like years ago, right? The summer? And what was the main verse? If anybody, I know this isn't fair, but what was the main verse of that? Do good, seek peace. Somebody's got it. And go after it. That's Psalm 34, right? And Peter quotes Psalm 34, and I want to read that verse to you. Excuse me, 1 Peter 3. In verse 10, he says this, "For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and go after it or pursue it." Okay? And so when we keep those things in mind this week, that the one who wants good, the one who seeks good, the one who seeks life, is to keep our tongue from evil, right? And our lips from deceit. James says, there is no perfect man, and that is his point. And we want to consider what James says about a perfect person. And what he says about taming the tongue, he says there's great power in controlling our tongues. Horses and ships are very powerful, but wild, without control. Without control. There's great power in controlling our tongues. Horses and ships are very powerful, but wild, without control. Think about this. You have an opportunity, I have an opportunity, to give a word of encouragement to someone that you know they need. You can just see it in their eyes, right? They're down, they're hurting, they've been injured. And you have an opportunity, and you are so in control of your words at that moment. You are in control of the ship. You are in control of the horse. Very powerful pictures. How much power, if you are in control of it, can you offer? How much power is in that? He says, if we can tame our tongues, if we can contain our words in those moments, brothers and sisters, what power can we release onto someone else? You think about in a courtroom setting. Imagine we're in a courtroom. And the scriptures talk about how there's life and death are in the power of the tongue. And there's some who would tell you today that you can speak things into being. And I don't agree with that. I don't think the Bible teaches that. I don't think you can self-prophesy. If you just keep thinking and saying it, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be wealthy, I'm going to be rich, I'm going to be wealthy. It does not mean that you will be. And that's called the secret, actually. If you've ever heard of the secret, that's a false teaching. Okay? Well, what the Bible is talking about is how much power, and we can see it today in our political landscape, actually. If you're voting and you've been listening to some of the politicians, they're having a war of words right now. And that's nothing new. That's just how they do, isn't it? Without regard to what the Bible says about what their words can do. They're in this moment. They're in this season. They want your vote. And so they'll say anything and try to do anything at times to try and make sure you vote for them. And then once they got your vote, where are their words? You're in a courtroom. And your life is dependent upon what? Evidence, the whole trial process, and then what? One word or two? Guilty or not guilty? And those words have the power of what? Life and death. And so when we go into Scripture and we look at things like that, let's not take it out of context and do what Darwin did with evolution and say, well, this will work in everything. This will work in all aspects of biology. And it doesn't. Let's not take a verse like that out of context and say, well, if life and death are in the power of the tongue, then that'll work in everything. Because don't get fooled with that. There's power in our words, brothers and sisters. But I can't just speak things into being. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, if you're filling in your blanks. Luke 6:45, the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. And so a cute little phrase is, your tongue tells on your heart. And so remember that when you're in conversation with others. There's a valuable information that I can gain from you just by listening to you. And the same is true of you to me, right? And some of you guys are probably like, well, I'm gaining a whole lot, you know, and some of it might not be that pleasing. So your tongue tells on your heart. Luke 6:45, and then your other word would be your heart. Your tongue tells on your heart. And so James considers a stricter judgment, and he also considers a perfect person, and none of us, unfortunately, are able to tame our tongue with 100% perfection. But be encouraged this week. When you have the opportunity to think about the illustrations that James gave us. He gave us an illustration of the horse, and he gave us an illustration of ships. And so there's great power. He doesn't say anything negative. He's just saying there's great power in the tongue. And now he will get into something negative, and he talks about what? Forest fire. And he says, how great a forest fire, right, is set aflame by such a small little spark. Turn with me and let's read that in James 3, if you're not there already. The second half of verse 5. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and it is set on fire by hell. With great power comes responsibility, and with great power comes the opportunity for destruction. We can destroy things. We can even destroy people by what we say. So brothers and sisters, make it an intentional thing this week to pay attention to what we're saying to one another. Okay? Even if it's casual, pay attention. Be intentional with your words. For every species of beasts and birds, this is verse 7, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Question, verse 11. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? And what would be the answer to that? Now, just geographically, does a freshwater and saltwater spring happen from the same source? No. But what's James's point to us? He says, look around in nature. No spring gives you salt and fresh water. No fig produces olives. But our tongues produce things that are contrary. That ought not to be, he says. And that's why I say, and that's why I want to encourage you all and myself, that if you've been offended with somebody's words, I know it's going to be difficult initially, but have the thought in mind, we all stumble in many ways. Because we do send out fresh and salt water with our words. We do try to produce olives from a fig with our words, if you know what I'm saying. So Jesus, in Luke 6:45, let me back up just a little bit. He said, the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. And this is another interesting thing too, because what if I am just saying? What if I'm just kidding? What if I say something that I say with a smile on my face? Do those words count too? Say I give you a word of advice and you think, you take it as, I'm trying to be nosy. I've been gentle. I've spoken out of love. I've given you just a piece of advice that I've learned on down through the years from experience in life or from the scriptures, but you take it the wrong way. Did I do something wrong? Everybody go like this. Yes. Yes, I did. Why? Because I need to explain a little bit further where I was coming from. And I cannot have the attitude that says, well, you need to just listen more and you need to not be so sensitive. No, I need to take into consideration how my words made you feel. Even though I have the right motivation, even though I wasn't yelling at you, even though I look at you as a brother and sister in Christ and I'm full of love for you, speaking the truth in love, and maybe you're just in a spot in your life where that's not going to work for you, and you think I'm coming off as inappropriate or stepping on your toes or whatever it is, I still need to be sensitive to that. And you need to still be sensitive to that. Because what's in our heart matters. And what was in my heart was what? Love. But the way you received it was, it wasn't done in love. And so I need to communicate a little bit more to let you know what's in my heart. Does that make sense? the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. And so let's not get too carried away now, because I like to poke fun at some, especially in the basketball court. I'm not a trash talker. I don't think so. Do you think I talk trash? I don't talk trash. I just do it. Until I get hurt and injured. But poking fun at each other, and some of that you need to understand the person you're talking to, right? If you don't have that well of a relationship with them, then maybe you need to back off in some of the remarks. But what does that reveal? Does that reveal any evil? If I'm just having a conversation with you and we're kind of going back and forth, healthy spiritual banter, what's that revealing about my heart? Anything evil? Not necessarily. It just means I'm a fun, loving kind of person, and you are too, and we understand each other. We have that type of relationship, and so we communicate on that level together. But if I'm lying, what does that reveal about my heart? That means there's lying within me, and my heart is in a really, really bad place. Why? Because I believe, and I'm able to bring the thought from my heart to my mind and actually say it. And that's a much deeper issue that you need to grapple with if you're okay with lying, because that suggests your heart is at a point where it's hardened to the truth, that the mouth speaks out of that which fills your heart. And your heart, brothers and sisters, along with your words, will condemn you. So be careful, be challenged, but be encouraged. We have the tools. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. He can help us with our language. We have the Word of God that tells us there is a stricter judgment. Our tongues tell on us, and so we need to be careful. We have the abilities, brothers and sisters. Do you agree with that? And so the last 5 minutes or so, I'd like to talk about the last section of James chapter 3. And really, to me, I just want to ask some questions. And maybe we can work this out together. James says in verse 13, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." What is James talking about? Two very simple, contrasting wisdoms. Two different wisdoms. There's a wisdom that we can see some of our neighbors, and maybe even some of us sometimes. Some of our co-workers, some of our friends live and speak with. And that is the wisdom of this world. And then there is another wisdom that comes from above. That is first what? Pure. Okay? And from purity comes the other things. Peaceable, gentle, without hypocrisy, and all of those things. The first question I have for you is, what is your response to someone approaching you in conversation with wisdom from above? Someone approaches you, they want to talk to you, you have a good relationship with the person, you're able to communicate on that gentle and kind and jokeful level. Is jokeful a word? It is now, I just made it up. And so you're getting into this conversation, and you can tell by their words that they're speaking from the wisdom that's from above. It's gentle. It's to make peace. It's pure. as far as motives are concerned, it's pure. They're coming to you and approaching you without hypocrisy. How would you approach that person if they came to you with that type of wisdom? You would accept it really well, wouldn't you? I would hope. I would. And now say I come to you and I'm selfishly ambitious. I have some bitterness in me, bitter jealousy. I'm struggling with some pride. I don't really vibe. I don't really give you that feeling that I'm speaking from wisdom from above. What kind of conversation is that going to be like? Strong language. Strong language in James chapter 3 at the end of this chapter. He says it's the wisdom, verse 15, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is what? Earthly, natural, demonic. Would you describe some of your language as demonic? Have you ever injured someone because of your selfishness? Have you been injured because of someone else's selfish ambition? Have you ever been injured because someone's gotten jealous and they've said something to someone else about you and it's gotten back to you? Demonic. Divisive. Whereas the wisdom from above seeks your good, seeks peace, seeks to be gentle, is always pure. Someone's come to you and said, I love you. I just want you to know that. I care about what you care about. If there's anything I can do for you, you let me know. And they mean it. Trying to instill the wisdom that God has given us from His Word into our lives and into our conversations, brothers and sisters, that is wisdom from above. That is an attempt. That is an opportunity, an attempt to take what God has given us from the portals of heaven and try to duplicate in each of our lives with each other. Wisdom from above. So consider what James says about a stricter judgment if you're a teacher. And even those of us who may not be classified as a teacher, we all teach someone. Our words are powerful. Consider what James says about a perfect person. There is not one. And those who are able to tame the tongue, well, they're a perfect person. Consider what James says about wisdom from above, and maybe, just maybe, I've left you with more questions than answers. But that's okay. The final question, as you've seen, is how often does the wisdom that you live and speak with have its origins in heaven? How often does the wisdom that you live and speak with have its origins in heaven? Let's be standing as we pray. Father God, thank you for the day. Thank you that we can be gathered together and try to be encouraged by your word, by songs sung, by coming before your table and remembering the sacrifice of the body and blood of Christ for our sins. Lord, I want to thank you that Jesus is our bridge. Lord, that he has given us an opportunity to live for all eternity in your presence. Father, I pray that we would be, as a church, encouraged today as we leave here to consider our words, consider where they come from and where they have its origin. And Father, that we would be pleasing to you in our language, in our deeds. Someday, Lord, we hope to hear wonderful words from you. And I pray that that would be our goal. God, may we go in peace. May we go united. And whatever our hearts and our minds find ourselves doing, that we would do it for you, that we would enjoy the good things that you've given us. We thank you, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.